2013, I outrun with some of my club buddies up at Purdue on a day after sort of a freak snowstorm, night before, and so there's still some slush and stuff on the side of the road, and we're, you know, goofing around. At least that's what I was hearing. I'll tell you about why that's what I hear later. Yeah, so we're just running on the shoulder of a road up near Purdue University, and I guess what happened is I sort of slipped. The car didn't really see me, and I got sideswiped by a car. Had some pretty bad injuries. Spent about 10 days in the ICU up in Lafayette. With a broken arm, about 6 broken ribs, broken collarbone, broken shoulder blades, pretty bad head trauma. Fortunately, as I said, I don't remember any of this. The last thing I remember before any of this happened was I was coming home from class that day, about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and then the next thing I know, I'm 3 days into a rehab hospital in Indy, and people are like, oh yeah, you got hit by a car, by the way, and you now have a titanium plate in your arm, and a cool story to go with it.
So, how long did it take you to recover?
There's a rehab hospital down near 465 and 38th Street. I was in there for about 4 weeks or so, and then I was doing outpatient rehab for the summer after that. So I had to drop out the rest of that semester of school up at Purdue. Came down here, did rehab, and then took a class at IUPUI to sort of make sure I was okay to go back to school. And then back to Purdue in the fall, graduated in 2016, and been running ever since.
How long were you out of money?
2 months.
2 months.
Wow. Which was rough because, so, rehab hospital I couldn't run because I was still sort of figuring out the whole balance thing because part of the head that I got hit, I guess, regulation balance. So I had to figure out getting used to that again. And then about a month afterwards when I got out of the rehab hospital, they said, hey, don't do anything that could impact the way your bone is healing in your arm. So, the way it broke is the bone went sort of parallel. And it got smashed, and so they had to put the plate in to make sure it grew back properly. And they told me, hey, keep your arm in that sling for another month so that we'll x-ray it and tell you when you're good to go.
I think that way you can still run those.
So, yeah, I mean,
do you have any complications now?
I don't think so. I've gotten a whole lot faster. I think the only residual thing that's happened to me is I can't quite pump my arm, my right arm back as far because of the scar.
Yeah.
In place.
So, more of the story is don't get hit by a car.
if it does happen to you, be really motivated because of it and only be, you know, a couple of years in your running career.
Yeah.
So that you know you got a whole lot of pull.
Back toward Dark Oak
States in the national championships next week, and then 2 weeks after that, I'll be in Berlin. For me.
Man, can you take us to Berlin? Do I go to Berlin?
I do want to go to Berlin.
Me too.
I could use some assistant coaches to carry some.
You're running on Berlin. I'll carry your bags.
I'll look back at the bag. I think you carry my Dr. Peppers.
Yeah, there's Dr. Peppers. All right, Aiden, you want to go ahead with your running story?
Okay. I had one happen to me just on Monday with my training. I grabbed the wrong shorts out of the dresser, and unfortunately, during my sprint workouts, my shorts were falling down to my ankles. So I tried to hold them up and run, and everybody else had done that.
Oh, man. So what'd you do? You just had to hold them all
I just had to hold them up.
They never came completely down to them.
No, thankfully not.
Why did you say, where were you?
YMCA, so I was trying to look good for the ladies, but yet.
Actually, we all kind of have beard size. I don't know if you have beard size.
Yeah, what kind of
beard you have? Yeah, we're running any crew and Aiden Jim have all sporting the beard these days. So, anything else?
She was really good. She ran for USI, and it was kind of cool because I'm not like 4 hours north, and so it's kind of cool to see someone from my conference up north, you know, run against her too. Yeah.
Was she in the same box?
Oh no, she was near the bar.
Associated with this.
rainy. I got like 4 hours of sleep. I was like, oh my gosh, this is the worst decision I've ever made in my life. The race started and I felt pretty good. Started running, kept going. And as I was running, I was looking at the mile markers and my pace was in the 7 minute, 7:15, 7:30 range. And I was shocked. I was like, oh my gosh. I was shooting for 8 minutes and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm gonna die. Like, there's no way I can maintain this. And I crossed the finish line with an hour and 36 minutes and had run a 7:15 pace.
Wow.
It was
like great.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And I was astounded. Like, I was so excited. I was like almost crying when I crossed the finish line.
So,
I was so happy.
So, what's the moral of the story for the audience?
Don't doubt yourself. Like, and the great thing about running is you can always get better, and don't get too inside your head. Just go with how your body feels, and you might really surprise yourself.
And it sounds like you actually got some promise moving forward.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it, and then said I'd never do it again, and I've already done one more and signed up for my third. So
that's
pretty good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Probably next year.
Yeah,
okay. My goal is, in about a year and a half.
Triathlons in one weekend. And it's like, oh, like this shouldn't be that bad. Well, we get over there, and it's like the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains. So, not great.
I ran the Appalachians recently.
The first race on Friday night, the Super Sprint. And we go to line up, and this massive, like, downpour hits. So, like, swimming in the rain, biking straight up this hill. And back down, like 40 miles an hour, you can't see, like rain's hitting the eyes and everything, and take off on the run. Well, since we're really smart triathletes, we decided we're gonna camp all weekend. So we set up camp and go do this race right pouring out rain. We go back and like all of our tents are flooded. And it goes ahead and rains like the rest of the weekend. So, like, all of our stuff is soaked. They make you wear, like, the branded triathlon gear. So, like, says Triple T on the front. You have to wear this kit for every single race or you get disqualified.
Oh, man.
And so, like, I'm wearing this kit that has been soaked for 12 hours for the next race. And then, like, I have to put it on again 6 hours later for another one.
Is it, like, all moldy smelling?
I'm pretty, everything was moldy smelling.
Really?
Like, you're shitting the moldy smelling stuff. Yeah, that and my, like, lake inside of my tent. But the best part about this is, like, 4 a.m., this bird right outside of our tent just starts going crazy. It wakes up, like, our entire campsite. So everyone gets, like, 3 hours of sleep the entire weekend because early in the morning, the bird is just going nuts. And so we dealt with cold, rainy hills. It was pretty much a miserable weekend. But that is how teams have built.
What's the moral of the story here, Patrick?
The moral of the story is don't go do an early May race in the foothills of Appalachia. Yes. Don't camp for big races.
From here. So I've now done the May, the
the mini marathon, 17 or 18 of them, something like that, at a pace that, just like you say, I like to break 3 hours, but I don't always.
Yeah.
So in my fastest, you know, might be 13:30 kind of pace, and sometimes it's more like 14:40.
Yeah.
And I've had some injuries in the But my story to share, I have a secret.
Uh-oh.
Few people know this story.
Yeah, it's out now.
So, I'm a coffee drinker. I need to have my coffee in the morning. I get a bad habit. I'm not hydrated, so I always need to use the quarter glass. Always try to go before the race starts.
Yeah.
And before we had race starts, I would actually, before when we had the corrals would move forward, but without the waves, I could walk, after the first start done, for 15 or 20 minutes, use that last set of quarter legs before I crossed the start line, but still after the initial start. But that doesn't work anymore with the wave start.
Right.
In any case, usually about midway through the race, I feel like I would be more comfortable if I removed myself. And I don't like to wait in line. Those who are familiar with the race know that when you get inside the track, there are the permanent cinder block restrooms there on the right.
Oh, yeah.
Not very far along the bend. A lot of people use those because they have a high capacity.
Yeah.
But for many years, if you hold it past that, keep going around the bend, not too much farther, there's one portalette in the infield. And there's never one there. Never a one. I've only had to make, wait for one or two people most. Right?
Yeah.
Right. And I always tell my friends, now, one of these years it's not going to be there. Right? And then I'm going to be in trouble.
Oh, no.
But that's not the story either. So, some things. I think it was 3 years ago. Maybe two.
Wow.
I was walking with a girlfriend and said, I'm going to make my usual pit stop. You keep going, I'll catch up. Well, I had to back up a little bit because I was wearing one of those skirts with the panties,
right.
And I wanted to work out before, but not for a half marathon.
Right.
Didn't know that the legging part would hike up some, and I had some chafing. So before going onto the track, I stopped with the medics and said, "Do you have any Vaseline?" They said, "Yep, you got our last pack, one of those face packs."
Yeah.
So I thought, "I'm just gonna hang on to this till I go to the portlet, just slap them, and I'm good to go." So I go into the portlet, no way at all, not a single person. And I'm totally focused on my Vaseline, thinking about, how am I going to do this, and so I tear it open, applying, and of course, dropped how to do that, and start peeing, and I noticed, wait a minute, I don't hear anything. Looks down, I was peeing on the lid. 13,000 people, I'm the first one to use that toilet. And you might think, no, maybe somebody just put the lid down the middle.
Right.
No, I know. I'm going to try the person, of course. So I cut it off. and then reached for the toilet tissue to clean up the lid and finish my business. It was still inside the paper wrap. So I've got greasy, Vaseline fingers trying to get this wrap off, trying to clean up myself and the lid before I move on. And I think that I lost a little bit of time. Vaseline helped. And I'm much more careful now.
Maybe the Vaseline just made up for the whole having to clean up on the lid.
I don't know. So that's my story. And truth be told, the next year, that poor left time. So it was not going to be on the year. I don't think so, but
never.
Okay, I was doing a race more recently. Can't remember which race, but it went to, I want to say, Carmel neighborhood. And there were not any four legs. But I felt a similar urge, and there's a construction site. And so I asked the construction guy, "Hey, can I get a quarter?" And he says, "First, you don't want to charge me a buck, and then you can say, 'Excuse me.'" And I almost did the same thing again.
I have now, I promise.
That's my story.
Thank you.
talking, because we could talk product all day, or we could talk about what a job you guys have done.
Well, we appreciate that.
So I could throw it back on you two and say, look, it all started with you guys when I walked into Blake's store. I'm trying to get this brand launched. And he said, well, man, tell me about it. So I tell him, and I try to pair on, and he said, I really, really like these shoes. Could you hook me up with a pair? I thought, oh, here we go.
Racing socks.
Yeah. We sent some racing boots in. That was a perfect intro. So from there, it just kind of launched, and stores took over, and
yeah, it's
thankful to be in here.
I mean, I genuinely love these shoes. I mean, they're great. So, but we got a new shoe coming out, the Spire. Spire 3. Do you want to, like, we'll be carrying the suit device for him.
This is our new premier top and neutral cushion.
I just tried it on before Global Running event, and I really like the feel of it. I can't wait to get a pair.
Early reviews are phenomenal.
Yeah,
it's clicking every place, and you guys will have it in store probably in the next few days. So I'll be anxious to hear how it checks with your customers, and you've already got a following for the brand, so it should be an easy takeoff.
You want to tell us how long the 361 been around? I know a lot of people ask that.
Yeah, I got a few times tonight, and you know, they're new. They're new to the States. It's just been about 3 years now. They were well established, obviously, as a China-based company, so they're very prominent in the China area, and then in South America, they're the number three brand. So they decided to come to the States about 3 years ago, and just launched, and it's been just slowly through the run specialty shops. We've developed the line, and it's just grown phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, we had a really good response. I mean, we've had it for like 6 to 8 months.
You're actually coming up July 1st will be 1 year.
Oh, wow.
It's been, yeah, and it's been extremely profitable, and
and we've had a really good response. Customers like them. I like them.
Don't leave me much alone.
I think it's a great deal. So.
Well, it's thankful. We're thankful that the staff has gotten behind it and the ownership has gotten behind it. And it's been a good partnership. We gave a lot to be in here as well. So it's been one of those where win-win-win. And ultimately, the consumer is getting a new brand to try.
Yeah, and most importantly, they sponsor this podcast.
And they fall for us. So that's pretty cool.
Well,
I wouldn't run in it if I didn't believe it.
Yeah, I didn't.
And to preface that, we don't just give it to anybody. We give it to elite athletes. So credit yourselves for being to the caliber that they wanted to give out product.
And it's their stuff is great. I mean, their apparel is good. Their leather shoes. So, I mean, sometimes when I ask for stuff, I feel a little guilty. But, you know, they told me I'm coming in. So, I'll be asking.
The story Blake told me earlier was that he takes his big apparel that he's wearing when he goes out to a restaurant.
Oh, really?
He's still, you know, he's full-time.
Yeah, so my wife is, I guess it's a really cool story. My story is my wife says, do you wear anything but 361? And I got all these nice clothes in my drawer and my closet. And we'll go to a nice steak restaurant and I'll wear some nice jeans and I'll have a 361 shoes on. And it just sent me this V-neck nice shirt.
Yeah.
And now, like, V-necks are in style now.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that I'm like, hey, I'm still sitting in the freezer.
One of our endorsed athletes.
Yeah.
Just out to dinner.
Yeah, good people.
Thanks for everything you do, Ken, and thanks for being here today.
Oh.
And we'll keep growing the brand.
That's great. I hope it does for all of us, and hopefully your listeners and all those customers in the Indianapolis area will come in and try on a pair.
Yeah, I think they do, and it's going to be a good response for a good majority of the time.
And the one thing I want to tell the listeners, too, and I showed Jim today the numbers up, that we have 23 right now different countries that have tuned in and at least clicked on our stuff and at least know who we are. So maybe like one or two of these countries, but there are 23 different countries.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
That's incredible.
We were 18 last week, and we just got a couple more this week.
It won't be long before you're syndicated.
Yeah.
There we go. I thank you guys, and I appreciate it. And it's been fun to kind of grow it, you know, one pair at a time. We're growing a brand, and
yeah.
You guys have been a big part of it. So I thank you.
We like being at the ground level of something great like this.
That's great. Thanks, guys. All right.
Running thing, and when I got to middle school, I decided to pursue track, and kind of gave up all the basketball and baseball, and became a sprinter, kind of 200-meter dash. Still lifetime undefeated in the 200-meter dash. That's one of my favorite running accolades today, because no one has beat me in 200-meter dash. So that it all started for me not wanting to be held back by any kids on the playground. The 200 or faster, you need to be retired from 200.
Yeah, I won't wish you.
I don't think I won't wish.
That's my story.
On a serious note, last weekend at Eagle Creek, and that's where I run a lot, and Jesse runs a lot, there was a lady, age 41, who was killed in the pattern of a cannon, and she, so we want to give her family our condolences to her family, and hope she finds peace and healing and going through that over there. She was a local runner, and she actually shot that runner. So
yeah,
we definitely want to say sorry for that.
Yeah, we're going to have our picking up family, and I mean, that really didn't just happen just by the way. Thank you.
used to live in Miami. If you don't know who Mike Wilson is from Fishers, you just don't know who Mike Wilson is.
I certainly know of any Mike Wilson.
No. You don't know any Mike Wilson.
Yeah, you know, this is my lead Mike Wilson.
This is the Mike Wilson.
And with Mike Wilson is
his wife.
No!
Pacer for that particular marathon, down to earth, you read his books or whatnot, you know, he's a really cool guy, and he's got a lot of good, I mean, he's got a lot of good stories, so. I'll pick the two. Now, actually, you're supposed to do the same amount as you run. In like 3 minutes, you can take a break. 90 seconds. Not for the running, then. The other kind of celebrity runner that I run with was probably back in 2010, 2011. It was Dean Karnazes, the ultra marathon man.
Hell yeah.
And I was at a running convention in Austin, Texas, and we were on the trail run. And to be honest with you, I didn't know it was there. There was much of a North Face or whatever. We're running along, and it's a pretty big group, like 200 to 300 people, and we're running along this trail or whatever. We don't, you know, we're all from all over the country. We don't know where we're going, so we're running along, and our group, some separated, and we went the wrong way on the trail. So, and I remember thinking, I'm running along, and I'm looking at the guy in front of me, and he just has these massive and muscular calves. Yeah, like, who the heck is that guy? And sure enough, we go around, and we kind of stop, and we all kind of collectively get together, and we're like, you know, what's going on? Kind of, and this guy was topping his helmet, wearing his visor, has Oakleys on. It was, I was like, oh, holy crap, it's
being kind of
awesome.
Yeah, did he get that kind of match?
I did. I was recently, yeah, I mean, he's a lot shorter than you think.
Yeah, he was in my school.
Yeah.
And now he has the two reds. I like those a lot. Candy, like it's Halloween time, so
yeah.
They have bags of candy on the way.
So, if you
It's probably a small audience.
Yeah. So how I got into the 3-in-1 month is I signed up for WineGlass, which is an automatic sign in. And then the two other were lotteries. I didn't know if I was in or out. And I got into both. So I was like, I'm in. But I ended up actually getting pneumonia mid-month. So I ran to got pneumonia, didn't run, and then I ran my last one at the end of the month.
Okay.
But I wasn't going to not do it.
The longest I've ever gone since I was in high school. So here I am, 55 years old, and I'm sitting here going, Brian, you don't, this could be the end of your running career, right? I mean, it doesn't get easier to start back up again, does it?
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's harder for me.
Yeah, the longer you go not running, no matter how old you are, I think it's harder to get.
I know. And so I was really worried about that. And when you guys came on board with the
with the podcast, I was like, oh, maybe this will get me fired up. And it has, but what really got me fired was when you got me the shoot. I know it's going to sound like some, like 361 paid me for this, but I guarantee they didn't. When I wore the shoes, there was something about them that, first of all, just felt so comfortable. And for me, shoes are somewhat of like an inspiration to run and walk. Like when you join a gym, you know, sometimes you join a gym and you're like, I do this. And when I got the shoes, I was like, oh, maybe this is where I'll start. And so it was the winter and I'm a fair weather. So that didn't happen. Well, in the last few weeks, I've attempted to start running. And I've only put in, you know, maybe four runs. But I was telling the, what was the fellow trying to do? Again, that the first time I ran, and I normally get the new blisters. I always get blisters. The first time I ran, I got no blisters from my shoes. And I just felt, they were almost like they didn't, they were non, they almost didn't exist. It was like I didn't have shoes on. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
They were so light and comfortable that it was like I, you know, didn't have shoes on. So anyway, but here's the problem. Here's my problem. I'm struggling getting motivated. And
so we need to come on and just publicly berate you.
Yeah. I need external shame if I don't run. And I think
we're going to check in with before each podcast and see if you've been running.
Exactly. That's what you should do. That would put so much pressure on me.
Brian, this is episode blah, 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 and Brian hasn't ran in 10 days.
That's right.
And everybody go, boo, Brian.
I ask that. I want you to tar and feather me. I want you to shame me. I want you to put,
well, the shoes aren't an obstacle anymore. Now we got taken straight away with the 361. So,
I got no excuses. In fact, my schedule is so flexible.
Wow.
I can run any time of the day. So I'm looking at it going, come on. It's time. It's now or never.
So we're going to be checking in, making sure Ryan is keeping up on his running.
Whip me into shape, though. I'll be your success story. And if I have a heart attack on my run, my wife will be contacting me.
Well, we won't have anybody to record the episode, so no one will ever know.
That's probably true. But I do, here's what I, and this is very morbid, but I decided how I want to die.
Oh, yeah?
And that sounds horrible. And here's why I want to die. I want to eventually move down to Florida, and I want to run along the beach. And I can't think of a better way to die than to have a heart attack while I'm running
on the
beach. Yeah, fall in the ocean and have a do not resuscitate.
But, working on a podcast. And that would be an awesome way.
You guys really want me to keel over on your podcast? There's no doubt. There'll probably be a spike in there. All right, guys.
All right, thank you so much for sharing, Brian.
Yeah.
Brian Lee, the Village Reporting. He does all our behind the scenes
advice. Yeah. Just imagine, we're doing this live on site, so if you thought you had to go to a studio to do the recording of a podcast, you don't.
Yeah.
I can come to your place.
This is the first one we're doing outside the studio.
Yeah. It's fun. It keeps you recording.
Blake, I'm missing here.
No, I think I'm on my fourth beer, so.
Well, as far as I really want to.